The job market is constantly changing, and at Bowling Green State University, we're evolving too. Working with industries to develop innovative majors in education, engineering, business, and healthcare that will give you an edge when you enter the workforce. BGSU is ranked as the number one public university in Ohio for career preparation by the Wall Street Journal. Personalized career coaching, networking opportunities, and hands-on immersive learning set you up for success. That's the BGSU experience. Learn more at bgsu.edu/careerready.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's Thursday. It's a coordinator Thursday. That's what it is. What do they say? It's competition Wednesday, finish Friday, all about the ball Thursday.
Yes.
We're all about the ball today, except for at the end of the show when we give way to a puck because we got Capitals hockey tonight here on the Team 980. So we are off and running. We got a little bit extra that we got to get in today because the show only goes till 6:45. Anthony, I'm not going to lie. I'm most excited for 4:45 today because earlier this week, Darris Dameron, the producer extraordinaire of Grant and Danny across the hall, came in very concerned about you and Madden, like the video game. And there's a whole discussion to apparently get into here. So I'm excited for that at 4:45. It seems rather serious. Darris cares about it a lot, and you know I'm here to help Darris out. I want to let him get this off his chest. Even though it is directed at you. But I think you are prepared to handle yourself.
Craig, I went home yesterday. I took the time to gather my talking points because I don't like what Darris thinks, you know, or says about me. And I don't really like what, you know, people in the chat say about me either. So I'm here to defend my honor.
Excellent. And with a fresh haircut.
Ooh, you see it?
I did.
Hey, look, I saw you get one. I was like, let me get one.
Yesterday, it really looked fresh. Today, it looks just like, I mean, it's still better than it was, but like I didn't use any product or blow dry my hair. I was lazy because I eventually was like, I'm just going to go get needles put in my leg. So that was fun at PT today.
That probably hurt.
You'd been doing a bunch of physical therapy. You ever get dry needled?
No, I just get heat and ice.
You got a dry needle game, bro. It's next level.
Yeah, I think that scares me a little bit.
Yeah. I have four needles in my shin, a couple more in my hip, we'll call it.
I maybe should have gotten it in my back, but I just, you know, took the heat.
Literally. You still have to take the cold, too, in the form of an ice bath.
Well, I mainly put the cold on my neck.
Mm. All right, well, we'll get that. Here's what we got on the show today. Cliff and Joe Witt Jr. talked, obviously, as they do every Thursday. So we will let you hear throughout the show what they had to say. And the headline to me coming out of the coordinator press conferences is in the form of something that Joe Witt said that I thought was very telling. I thought that was very interesting. And it started in his opening remarks as he took to the podium today.
Plays that, and I hate to keep coming up here and talking about communication because we've been good the last couple weeks. But four plays cost us the game, you know, and I'm not even worried about the third down penalties that extended drives. They didn't need any help, but that's football, okay? Sometimes you're going to get football plays and you're going to get a penalty here and there. They're going to get their plays in the run game, but we can't give them anything. And if we don't give up those four individual plays, we win that game. And so that's that, and I'll take responsibility for that because they shouldn't make those mistakes. The defenses that we know, and we didn't get it executed, so we're, like I said, we're working to make sure we minimize those mistakes moving forward. But we can't keep up coming up here. I can't keep coming up here saying the same thing. Got to get it corrected. We have a good football team, and we have to do what we need to do. From an injury standpoint, we lost a lot of guys, and so. But you know, like I like to say, you know, injury is just like, you know, blocking, tackling, running. All right, it's part of NFL football. So we got to. Give these other guys opportunities. Sometimes you get your opportunity, you become a star. So I'm excited to see the guys that are going to come in and play. And we always talked about rolling with a deep crew. So they got to come in and be ready to rock and roll. So with that, I'll take any of your questions.
So that's how Joey Jr. opened today. Four plays that cost the game. I don't think he's ever specifically in this press conference laid out the exact four plays, but it's a lot of the miscommunication stuff that happened. There's two coverage busts where that involved Frankie Louvu and another defensive back and a defensive back. I believe one is Percy Butler. I believe one was BSJ, but it might have been. Actually, I think it was one of the other corners. But it was Noah. Both follow the same guy and leave someone else open. So I'm guessing those are two. There is, if I had to guess, the play where St. Juice trails Rashad Bateman because he gets picked and there's no communication on that. There's a technique thing where Benjamin could probably stay a little more square, but also like you can't let your guy get picked like that if you're guarding Mark Andrews. Like you've got to, if you're, I think it was Jeremy Chin, Bobby Wagner, someone, whoever had Mark Andrews, the guy who ultimately set the pick, like you've got to either communicate, you've got to help your guy out and switch that. Like you've got to have a better plan. And I think it's interesting because Joe is now feeling in a way that you probably don't feel quite as intensely as a position coach, what it's like to be a coordinator in the NFL, which is you can have a bunch of really good weeks in a row. You face a team that's awesome. They hand it to you a little bit. And you're like, I thought we had all this stuff figured out. And I think that the thing that you have to realize as a coach is you have to both accept that you're not going to be, that there is no such thing as figuring it out. I think that the biggest misconception about sports is no one, even LeBron as an NBA player, even Brady as a football player, as a quarterback, those guys, it looks like they did. They get as close as anybody ever does. But part of that is they consistently work. They figure out how to keep solving the problems because sports are physically and mentally just an endless string of problems to solve. How do I get around this guy? What decision do I have to make in terms of where I throw the football? What defensive assignment do I have? Do I make the right decisions? And then do I physically execute upon them time and time and time and time again? And so as a coach, there's no such thing as figuring it out because every week you play an offense that's a little bit different, that presents different challenges. And you have to try to, like, and there is no, by the way, solution that's bulletproof. There is no game plan that you go in with that another team can't make an adjustment and figure something out. Or, hey, the game plan was perfect until the guy missed the tackle. Well, that wasn't part of the plan. Now, hey, we had it covered, but that guy's running scotch-free. You get penalties that happen. You have injuries that make that harder to execute. You did something because you knew you had a guy that could handle it. He gets hurt on the second snap of the game, and now we got to figure out a new way to solve that problem because the guy, his backup, can't do the thing that we were asking the first guy to do. And so I find humor in it because I've been doing this a long time. It's probably not funny at all to Joe Witt, and I'm not laughing. To be very clear, I'm laughing at the general nature of coaching because that's like it's something that everyone does. I'm not laughing specifically at Joe, and I'm not laughing at Joe at all. It's just to hear a coordinator get up and be like, "Well, I can't keep up getting up here and saying the same things, and I've got to figure it out because they shouldn't be doing this." When we didn't have that problem the last couple weeks, it's like, yeah, because that's, you're coaching a bunch of humans who are young men that are trying to figure stuff out in real time and against the best athletes in the world. And you're not going to hit about 1,000 on that. But here's the important part. Here's why it's you don't need to laugh at Joe Witt. You don't need to be mad at Joe Witt. You don't need to be sad about anything Joe Witt said. Is the mentality that Joe Witt has is how you be right way more often than you're wrong. That while you have to somewhere deep down inside accept the fact that there is no such thing as figuring it out and there is no such thing as perfection, you have to constantly pursue it because the hope is that you do as good of a job as you can. And the only way to do that is to pursue figuring it out, is to make those changes each and every week. How can I either design a better scheme and use my players and put them in better positions, or do I communicate to them what I need to see happen? What they need to do in a way that allows them to execute better. And we've seen huge strides for certain players, including a highlight St. Juice, because he and I, as in Benjamin and I, talked about this in our preseason interview, where he talked about last year, I'd be responsible for the go, the dig, the comeback, the in, the out. And if anytime my guy caught the ball anywhere near me, even if it wasn't really my fault, I would get yelled at. And this year it's like, just don't get beat deep. For instance, sometimes it's don't give up the comeback. Sometimes it's don't give up the in. Sometimes it's don't give up the out. But depending on the coverage, they're much clearer. And if, for whatever reason, you give up the thing that you were told, don't worry about that, either the guy whose fault it is going to give up or get yelled at or told, like, hey, that needs to be better. Or if it's the thing that is just the weakness in the defense, because no defense is perfect, otherwise every single coordinator would call that play every single time. If you give up the honey hole shot in cover two, and you had good depth and a quarterback just made an absolutely insane throw. Maybe it's your safety's a little bit late, but the ball winds up going over your head, but you were where you're supposed to be because you're supposed to play at 8 yards or whatever, you know, based off down distance and whatever version of cover two. Like, you're in your spot. You hustle back and get the depth when the ball is thrown, but you just get beat by a good throw. Then you go, okay. Now you give up a deep out in cover three where you're responsible for that. Well, now we got a problem. Like, these are the kinds of things that are really important, and Joe is trying to figure out how to make it week over week that instead of 75% of the time we're right, we're 80. Instead of 80% of the time we're right, we're 85. And you're always trying to pursue that 100, knowing that you're never truly going to get there. And I love Joe's approach to that. I love Joe's ownership of that. I think it's a way to both publicly take accountability, that if fans hear this, they're like, okay, these guys are trying, while not throwing players under the bus. But the reality is, too, on the back end of this, if he keeps trying stuff and they give more information and some guys maybe get it and other guys continue to not, eventually it is a reflection of the players. And that's the last part, is they are understaffed in the defensive backfield. Like, obviously, Benjamin, we've talked about a lot this week. He's a guy that's not a premier number one corner by any stretch. I don't know that he's a premier number two corner. He's a fine two if you have a really good one. They don't. So he's asked to guard types of players and do things that you would rather not put him in position to do. Noah Igbinoghene, great rotational piece. Not a guy you want to be your starting slot. That's why he's a former first-round pick who's become a journeyman around the league. Sander Still's a rookie, and he's grown week over week in a tremendous way, but he's a rookie now playing out of position because they don't have anybody else that can play out there. You know, Kwan's got his strengths. He's still young at the position. Jeremy Chin's got his strengths, but he's also got his weaknesses. And so they're trying to find solutions week over week. And against a team like Baltimore, there just aren't a lot of good ones, even if your defense is awesome. And so what's going to be interesting is against Carolina, a team that does present some interesting stuff offensively, can you get it corrected to a serviceable level? That's a reflection of Joe Witt's coaching far more than the four plays that you give up the game against the Ravens, because the Ravens can cause that kind of chaos because they do so many things well, and the job is so hard to do, snap in, snap out, against players that are that good, a scheme that is that good, and an operator in Lamar Jackson who is as good as anybody in the NFL. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hear a little bit more from Witt and Cliff Kingsbury next, and then coming up at 4:30, game of the night last night was on the hardwood. We'll break it down. 5 o'clock today, our pal Dan Pizzuta is with us. We're locked and loaded on a Thursday on the Hoffman Show.